That which is the support, the soul, the source, the purpose, and the power of all this world. The reality behind all this appearance, that indeed exists. Let that, the truth, abide in our heart. In the company of sages, attachment vanishes, and with attachment, illusion. Freed from illusion, one attains stability and thence liberation while yet alive. Seek therefore the company of sages. Not by listening to preachers, nor by the study of books, not by meritorious deeds, nor by any other means can one attain that supreme state, which is attainable only through association with the sages and the clear quest of the self. When one has learned to love the company of sages, wherefore all these rules of discipline? When a pleasant, cool southern breeze is blowing, what need is there for a fan? Fever is overcome by the cool light of the moon, want by the good wish-yielding tree, and sin by the holy Ganges. Those three, fever and want and sin, all flee at the sight of the peerless sage. Holy rivers, which are only water, and idols, which are made of stone and clay, are not as mighty as the sages. For while they make one pure in course of countless days, the sages' eyes, by a mere glance, purify at once. Who is God? One who knows the mind. Myself, the spirit, knows my mind. Therefore, you are God. And also the scriptures declares that there is only one God, the knower. By what light do you see? The sun by day, the lamp by night. By what light do you see these lights? The eye. By what light do you see the eye? the mind? By what light do you know the mind? Myself. You then are the light of lights. Yes, that I am. In the center of the heart cave, there shines alone the one Brahman as the I, the Atman. Reach the heart by diving deep in quest of the self, or by controlling the mind with the breath, and stay established in the Atman. In the lotus of the heart is pure and changeless consciousness in the form of the self. When the ego is removed, this consciousness of self bestows liberation of soul. The body is like an earthen pot, inert, because it has no consciousness of I, and because daily in bodiless sleep we touch our real nature. The body is not I. Then who is this I? Where is this I? In the heart cave of those that question thus, there shineth forth as I, himself, the Lord Shiva of Arunachala. Who is born? It is only one who asks, whence am I born? That is truly born in Brahman, the prime source. One indeed is born eternally. They are the Lord of saints. They are ever new. Cast off the notion, this vile flesh am I, and seek the ceaseless bliss of self. To seek the self while cherishing this perishing flesh is like trying to cross a stream by clinging to a crocodile. The way of charity, penance, sacrifice, dharma, yoga and bhakti, and the goal of heaven, reality, peace, truth, grace, silence, stability, deathless death, knowledge, renunciation, liberation, bliss. All this is only ceasing to think that the body is the self. What is action or devotion or union or knowledge? It is to inquire, whose is this action or indifference or separateness or ignorance? Inquiring thus, the ego vanishes. To abide as the self, wherein these eight have never been, this is true existence. Not realizing that they themselves are moved by an energy not their own. Some fools are busy seeking miraculous powers. Their antics are like the boasting of a cripple who says to his friends, "If you raise me to my feet, these enemies are nothing before me." Since the stilling of the mind is true liberation, and miraculous powers are unattainable without an act of the mind, how can those whose mind is set on such powers enter the bliss of liberation, which is the ending of all activity of the mind? While God sustains the burden of the world, the spurious ego assumes its burden, grimacing like an image on a tower, seeming to support it. If the traveller in a carriage, which can carry any weight, does not lay their luggage down, but carries it painfully on their head, whose is the fault? Between the two paps, below the chest, above the stomach, there are six organs of various colours. Of these, one, looking like a lily bud, is the heart. At two digits distance to the right of the centre, Its mouth is closed. Within its cavity is seated a heavy darkness, filled with all desires. All the great nerves are centered there. The home it is of breath, mind, and light of knowledge. The Lord, whose home is the interior of the heart lotus, is extolled as Lord of the cave. If by force of practice, the feeling, I am that, I am the Lord of the cave, becomes firmly established, as firmly as your present notion that you are the ego is established in the body. And thus you stand forth as that Lord of the cave. The illusion that you are the perishable body will vanish like darkness before the rising sun. When Rama asked, which is the great mirror in which we see these images of things? What is it that is called the heart of all the beings in the world? Vasishtha answered, when we reflect, we see that all the beings in the world have two different hearts. One of these is worth acceptance, the other worth rejection. Listen how they differ. The organ called the heart, placed somewhere in the chest of the physical body, is worth rejection. The heart, which is of the form of pure awareness, is worth acceptance. It is both within and without. It has no inside or out. That indeed is the essential heart, and in it all this world abides. It is the mirror in which all things are seen. It is the source of all wealth. Hence, awareness may be termed the heart of all beings. The heart is not a part of the perishable body, inert like a stone. Therefore, by the practice of merging the ego in the pure heart, which is all awareness, the tendencies of the mind, as well as the breath, will be subdued. by constantly meditating in the heart, that pure, unconditioned awareness that is Shiva. That am I. Remove all attachment of the ego. Having investigated the various states of being and seizing firmly by the mind that state of supreme reality, play your part, O hero, ever in the world. You have known the truth which is at the heart of all kinds of appearances. Without ever turning away from that reality, play in the world, O hero, as if in love with it. Seeming to have enthusiasm and delight, seeming to have excitement and aversion, seeming to exercise initiative and perseverance, and yet without attachment, play, O hero, in the world. Released from all bonds of attachment and with equanimity of mind, acting outwardly in all situations in accordance with the part you have assumed. Play as you please, O hero, in the world. One who by knowledge of the Atman is established in the truth. One who has vanquished the five senses. Call them the fire of knowledge, the yielder of the thunderbolt of knowledge. The conqueror of time and the hero who has slain death. Just as on earth with the coming of spring, the tree shines in fresh beauty of foliage. Even so, one who has seen the truth will shine with growing luster, intelligence, and power. Like one to whom a tale is told, while their thoughts are wandering far away. The mind which is free from attachment is inactive while it acts. But the mind immersed in attachments is active, though it does not act. Like the sleeper lying motionless here, who in their dream climbs a hill and tumbles down. As the movement of the cart, it's standing still, and it's being unyoked to the passenger asleep in the cart. Even so are action, contemplation, and sleep to the sage asleep in the cart of their body. For one who seeks waking, dreaming, or sleep, there is a state beyond these three, a wakeful sleep, a fourth state called the Turiya. But because this Turiya state alone is real, and the three apparent states are illusory, the fourth state is indeed the transcendental state. The statement that the jnani retains prarabdha karma while free of the other forms of karma is only a formal answer to the question of the ignorant. Of several wives, none escapes widowhood when the husband dies. Even so, when the doer goes, all three karmas vanish. For unlearned folk, there is only one family consisting of wife, husband, children, and dependents. But in the mind of those with much learning, there are many families of books, theories, and opinions as obstacles to yoga. What is the use of letters to those lettered folk who do not seek to wipe out the letters of fate by inquiring, "Whence are we born?" What else are they but gramophones, O Lord of Arunachala? They learn and repeat words without realizing their meaning. The unlettered are easier saved than those who are learned but unsubdued. The unlettered are free from the clutches of the demon pride. They are free from the malady of many whirling thoughts and words. They are free from the mad pursuit of wealth. They are free from many, many ills. Though a person looks on the world as a wisp of straw and holds all sacred lore in their hand, it is hard for them to escape from thraldom if they have yielded to vile flattery. Without thinking of oneself as apart from others, without swerving from one's true nature, if one abides always in the self, who is there alien to one? What matters it what people say of one? What matters it if one praises or blames oneself? Keep Advaita within the heart. Do not ever carry it into action. Even if you apply it to all the three worlds, it is not to be applied to the Guru. I shall declare truly the essence of the final doctrine of the Vedanta. When the ego dies and becomes that, the self of pure awareness, that alone abides.